Broadcasting live, it's America's longest-running national radio talk show on computers, Computer America, hosted by national columnist Craig Crossman. Look for Craig's weekly column in your favorite newspaper. This show is being beamed nationwide at ComputerAmerica.com. Keep it here for technology news, computer products, guest interviews, and your phone calls. You're listening to Computer America.
Hello, and welcome into the another edition of the Computer America Show. It's the nation's longest-running, nationally syndicated radio talk show on computers. Computer America is heard around the world and coast to coast. And I'm your host, Craig Crossman.
And I'm your co-host, Ben.
Let's go to our guest right now. Again, I mentioned the company is called Jackpot Digital. And Jackpot Digital is a leading software developer and supplier to the iGaming industry. Jackpot Digital is committed to bringing an enjoyable experience to players and delivering great results to operators. Jackpot Digital continues to develop innovative turnkey gaming solutions for regulated iGaming markets and social gaming environments. Joining us to explain further and talk about the industry is Jake Kalpakian. Jake is Jackpot Digital's president and CEO. Jake, welcome into Computer America. How are you, sir?
Good, thank you.
Tell me a little about the gaming industry. I mean, just give us a little background about yourself in the gaming industry and what you do.
Well, I'm an avid fan of the business of gaming. I've enjoyed recreational poker and sports wagering, just your typical red hot blooded male, I guess you would say. Watches sports, plays some cards, does a little bit of, watches the horses, a little bit of everything. And I've always enjoyed that the action. You know, people don't necessarily are in it for the specific winning. Of course, that's the sweetest part of it. But really, I've always enjoyed the action and the business of gaming itself. I've owned race horses myself. I've been involved in some very unique wagering propositions, but the essence of gaming is what I'm really interested in, is because it's, you see all types of characters, and you see it's a great microcosm of people's characters on how they bet, and it tells a lot about what people do and how they are, and it's a lot of fun. There's a lot of positive things that you can learn from gaming when you're playing for real money wagering. A lot of things happen that usually don't happen in just a regular course of a meal, let's say. When there's some money involved, depending on the game, all sorts of emotions come out. While that's always interesting to see, I've always been more fascinated from the standpoint of the business aspect of things.
And just to be clear, when you say gaming, you know, gaming means something different to me.
Yes.
It's like gambling, but I think a lot of, or, you know, at least from what I've seen, a lot of what you're going into isn't exactly gambling, because they're apps, they're games. You know, you have a lot of games here that, use the same principles of gambling. It's just, you know, is there any money actually changing hands with what you do at Digital Jackpot or Jackpot Digital?
Well, it's a unique story. Our company's been around really for 16 years, but it's really been reborn just recently. We started back in 1999, and we were formerly known as LasVegasFromHome.com. And we were a small company that started off with building, developing, and licensing online multiplayer poker in the late 90s, early 2000s. And, of course, talk about being at the right place at the right time. That's what happened with online poker. I mean, we saw a boom or a mania happened with online poker, and we used to get all sorts of licensing requests for software from the small operators to large casinos. It was the even playing field, if you will, with software. You could now, instead of, you didn't have to be a giant like MGM or Caesars, you could have operated a card room and had enormous amount of success and made enormous amount of money at the same time. And that's what happened in the industry with a lot of the initial operators. We didn't have the type of success that many others had. We had our growing pains with software. We didn't come from a software background. but we've been entrepreneurs most of our life. I'm talking about the management. And we got into the business, and we started to our learning curve was drastic in the software side of things. But we enjoyed it. I've enjoyed running the business since basically 2000. And, you know, we started with online poker on the multiplayer side, and you saw the mania, as I mentioned. And then we've just evolved into different products, and your point is a good one. Gaming is just a generic word, and it really means so many different things now to so many different people. You know, it could mean your traditional Las Vegas-style wagering of blackjack or roulette or sports betting or bingo, or it could mean now fantasy sports, which has become very popular in the space. In addition, you're seeing more and more Microsoft type of games or Xbox type of games going on for where players play against other players for real money. Now, this is a model that, you know, is still early in the game, and I don't know if it will be successful, but, you know, based on the number of people still playing these games, there's no reason why it can't be. I heard the same skeptics early on in the online gaming days. And, you know, it's just become a bigger and bigger industry. And ironically, I was one of the skeptics of online gaming when it first came out in the mid-90s.
Wow, exactly. Well, you know, obviously it's a, and there have been a, you know, I have to say, I know it more from the movie perspective. I've seen so many movies about this, and, you know, a couple of them comes to mind. But the reality, you know, so many times.
None of them are really indicative of the real life. I mean, I don't know which two you are referring to, but
what is it,
I haven't seen.
The one with the the guy that's going to play Batman. What the heck is his name?
Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck.
That movie's called Runner. And
yeah, it's Runner. Exactly.
Right. there are certain things in that movie that are that did happen or are very possible for or likely to happen or were constant on an everyday basis. But that movie was very far fetched. I mean, I was involved in the industry. And I was very much involved with certain people in Costa Rica licensing software or trying to license software to them. And that was, of course, sensationalized or Hollywoodized. But there are certain components of what happened there that rank very true. But I haven't seen a real movie to properly display real life.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I would say the closest gaming movie I've ever seen was a movie called The Rounders with Matt Damon, ironically, his friend. Right. Now, Matt Damon's movie Rounders was a very poignant movie. It was more based on land-based poker or a couple of guys playing poker, not so much on online gaming. But I would say the psychology and the culture and the attitudes were very bang on.
Yeah, both movies I really enjoyed, the Rounders especially. It gave you some really insight into the world of poker and what goes on, I thought it was extremely interesting. But Runner really talked more about the online aspect. There was really no mention of online in Rounders, but definitely Runner was all about the online gaming and things.
Rounders came out in '98, and maybe the industry was maybe a year old at that time.
Yeah, exactly. So it was a little before its time, but then of course gaming came into effect. And Ben Affleck said a couple of things in the movie. He says, you know, what did I do wrong? He says, you know, I allow a guy to sit in his living room in his underwear and, you know, and gamble, you know. So which is basically, I guess, what it is. I mean, literally, you can gamble online. Do you need to go to a reputable place, or are most of them reputable, Jake? Or how do you know?
That's an interesting question. You know, the big names out there are all very reputable. They're first of all run basically by land-based offshoots. Several companies initiated or their genesis was purely online, and they were very successful. In fact, they've supplanted the land-based casinos and been operating at a more higher standard, if you will. you know, I would recommend to any site that it first of all is licensed and is operating legally in your jurisdiction. Now, each jurisdiction is different, each country is different, and we can get into that in a moment. But obviously, the most important thing is, are these people operating legally? If they're not, I wouldn't spend another moment. Now, there are, of course, a lot of people that need their activity. They want to play. They don't want to, they trust the site. And for good reason. They've been playing on the site for years. And, you know, they're being told you can't play for, I think, the wrong reasons. And we'll get, and I can get into that more on the political side. But the fact is, there are many quality sites. But if you were to ask for my personal recommendation, I would stay with the bigger names, and most importantly, are they licensed and operating in a jurisdiction that won't get themselves in trouble? Or sometimes, in the player's case, for instance, a player in Washington State can be charged criminally if he was playing. And there are certain states that have that type of policy. So it all depends, of course, where you're located. But the sites in general, the ones that are now still the best are the breed or the type who've survived.
So Ben and I are talking to Jake Kalpakian, who is the Jackpot Digital's president and CEO. And so it was interesting that – so what kind of games can people play? I mean, can they play most of the games that you – when you walk into a casino, can you play most of the games that you play there, or is it only specific types of games?
Well, with Jackpot Digital, we focus on special multiplayer games. You know, we initially started, as I said, with online poker, and we've evolved into many different types of games, including bingo and other casino games like blackjack, roulette, and we've built special type of games for operators who want a specific style of game. But in most part, you could virtually play any other game now. In fact, I'm proud to tell you, when we operated a previous site about 10 years ago, we were always cutting edge with developing new games. Not new games in the sense that they weren't established games played at home or in venues in such as casinos, but they weren't found online. And we would translate those games from the land-based or from popular games, maybe in Asia or other games that just don't have the ability to get floor space at a casino, but still enjoy some popularity amongst their players. And we were able to convert those games and have people play online. For instance, there's a very popular game, and to this day it still operates, called Panguini, which is a cross between bridge and gin. Now, it's a very difficult game to find, and because of its demographic, you don't find many players playing it at all at the land-based levels. In fact, you'd be finding like an old fossil. It would be that unique if you found a game being what's called spread, which is offered in a land-based casino. We were able to take that game and we were able to offer it online, and you could not believe how much happiness we brought to a lot of people. Now, in that certain case, the demographic for that game are elderly ladies who like to play bridge or gin rummy. Now, they're not going to go to a casino and play this type of game on a regular basis. It's very difficult. Yes, of course, some do, but you would be amazed, on how much feedback we got to say thank you. You've made our afternoons and evenings worthwhile, and it was a social setting for them. They would come on and play. Now, we try to specialize in games that specific like that, where we're not going to have much competition. This is Jackpot Digital's MO, is to basically look for games that we can get a loyal following. It's a niche game that we're not going to have to fight a bigger competition, because the marketing becomes much more expensive as your business grows. You'd be amazed. If there's any success, all of a sudden everyone is copying you. But if you could stick to games that don't have as much blue sky, but they have a lower ceiling for a smaller operator, while that sounds a little bit too conservative, you'd be surprised on how profitable they could become. And that was our plan back then, and it's our plan now. So we build our style of games and our software with that viewpoint and try to build something a little bit more niche and unique. But in essence, you can find pretty much any game now online, and you're seeing more and more proliferation of different types of games, different types of betting structures, which to me is even more interesting, that I found that I didn't believe would resonate so much, but as an industry in general, it's become much more popular. You're seeing more and more sites where they make a market themselves between players or bettors, and where people would wager, very much like an option market in the financial markets, where you know you need a call buyer and a put seller, so to speak, or you know you need both sides of the market, and you're starting to see that in more different, unique ways in the wagering side. And so, yes, there are a lot of different choices out there, but for us as a company, I'd like to use the philosophy of if we can't be number one or two, no matter how small or how big the adventure we're in, if we can't be number one or two, let's not get into it.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's actually a pretty nice philosophy, because if you go into the App Store, if you go out there and you look at, you know, slot machines and you look at, you know, blackjack, and, you know, not saying that there isn't room for another one out there, but they're completely inundated. Like, there are so many options out there that it's hard to stand out, because, you know, when you go to a casino, you know, they don't have to compete against, you know, 10,000 different kinds of, you know, different kinds of
right.
blackjack, 10,000 casinos. It's, you know, it's just blackjack. So I guess by offering these niche products, you're actually trying to give your customers like a different gaming experience, because you know, are all these found, like, is there like a rotation where you have, you know, so many different games, you bring in new ones all the time, or you know you drop old ones, like how, because I've never heard of the one that you were just talking about, which was the cross between the two. I mean, how are people going to know about these when they start using your app?
Well, in our situation, you know, or basically everyone in general in the industry, it's really about branding. And, of course, the branding can come in several ways. But, of course, the best way is viral and word of mouth. And with online poker, for instance, it was a very unique situation where you had this huge explosion. Initially, we used to hear that the card rooms in the United States, particularly in Vegas, would be against them. And in actual fact, nothing could be further from the truth, because while they might have been against them initially, the explosion in online sent a huge wave of people playing on the land-based side. Now, I'm not sure how familiar you are with what the Strip looked like in the early 2000s, but only a couple of hotel casinos had poker rooms. By the end of the decade, because of the online mania, every hotel casino has a poker room and has some type of play-for-fun site, if not a real money site, depending on their jurisdiction. So what happened with poker was television was an important aspect of the branding of it. And they were able to do tournaments. You were able to see the whole cards, or the cards that were hidden, you know, by under camera on the table. And then you had another phenomenon. You had a couple of players win the World Series of Poker who gained their entry, although they won it at the land-based level, they gained their entry from play on the World Series, on the online circuit. Now, these are great things, and that was kind of a unique situation in online poker. But the example you brought up, well, slots or blackjack, you know, there's so many of them. How do you differentiate yourself? It's very hard. It's next to impossible. You need very deep pockets now to be able to market and do the promotional bonuses and do the giveaways and to really be in people's faces and eyeballs all the time. And that's why you see now just the bigger survivors. You see still a lot of smaller players, and you see a lot of fly-by-night, Johnny-come-lately operators that think they can have a solution or a formula that will work. I've yet to see any of the small ones really have any success. It's really now an industry dominated by deep pockets and by the bigger brands. For us to compete as a company and for us to be at all successful and attractive as an investment to the public, we have to find ways to differentiate ourselves. And the best way to do that is to build games that no one else has, or to build certain styles of games that are unique, either the betting through the betting structure, or simply put, you know, I'm not going to go after a particular game that has 400 other operators offering it. I'd rather have a game that maybe only has a cap of about 2,000 players, U.S. or Canada wide, but those 2,000 players are only going to be able to play on my site and play, you know, loyally. Now, in our case, as a company, we don't do any type of wagering in Canada or the United States. I use that as an example. Our products are actually more business to business. We initially started business to consumer many years back when we started this business, and we concentrated in Latin America and other markets. But we don't, because of the legal issues that surround online gaming, we don't participate in the U.S. market unless we're going to partner up with a U.S. Operator. Yeah. To us, we'd rather be in a licensed jurisdiction, make less, but at least we can sleep at night and have a business that we can come back to the next day and try to build upon that. And so we try to build on different types of games, for instance, in Mexico, and we try to build on our new platform towards cruise ship business, which is, of course, legal, and once they're 3 miles outside the waters. So there's special different niches that we look for us to enter a market or a product. Because, you know, first of all, operating in Canada or the U.S., it's illegal unless you're licensed in three states. Uh-huh. And even there, the competition is brutal. So we'd rather look at a unique situation like we are with our cruise ship platform.
Well, when you deal with a cruise ship, don't you have, I mean, they have to be out, what, 3 miles out to be international waters? I mean, there's still some regulations that you have to deal with there, right?
Right. First of all, the software goes through the same rigorous testing as it would be in a North American market. But the regulations are a lot more relaxed compared to if they were actually on the land. So once you are 3 miles out, then you are okay to offer those types of services. Now, even then, we don't offer the service. We license our software or our e-gaming platform to other operators.
Okay,
and
that's
a business we've just, it's not something that we've been doing for a long time. It's a business we've kind of pursued over time and starting to become more active simply because it's a nice slice of business that I think we can dominate in that specific space and make a decent amount of money for the company without having to, you know, wake up and battle giants all the time.
Because
because the name of the game at the end of the day is winning. Whether it's winning for our shareholders or winning as a company, we have to do something that, even though the blue sky, as I mentioned earlier, is a little less, it is something that's more reliable and likely to happen for the company, and we'd rather lock into that type of investment.
So you're not, in other words, you don't have your own servers and the computers, and people aren't actively playing on your games, or
no, we're not the house. We're just a licensing service of software for the time being in certain markets. Now there are markets like Mexico where we want to have our own servers and where we are the casino themselves. The Mexican market is a market that we've been looking into for a long time. We were about to get involved with it last year. That has happened at a very small level. We haven't really pushed our business there because we were looking for a different opportunity, and it looks like that's happened for us in Mexico. But our aspirations in Mexico are to do exactly what you're saying, is to supply our own product and go directly from business to consumer.
Mm-hmm.
And basically market to the country as if we're marketing our own land-based casino down there. And so in Mexico, yes, that is hopefully going to be the case.
Okay.
But in other business opportunities or other markets, we're just purely basically a gaming platform
sure.
provider.
Okay. All right. I got a lot more questions for you, Jessica.
Very much like a slot machine. If I could
we're
like a slot machine. Where the slot machines don't really operate themselves. They would like
We're at the bottom of the hour, Jake, so we're going to take a little break, and then we'll continue on.
Right. Sure.
All right, this is the Computer America Show. Ben and I are talking to Jake Kalpakian. He is the president and CEO of Jackpot Digital. We got a new Tips Pulse review coming up. It's all happening. Stay with us. You're listening to Computer America.
Welcome back to the Computer America Show. It is 33 minutes past the hour.
Yeah, it is.
And so in the first hour here, we have Jake Kalpakian. He is the president and CEO of Jackpot Digital. We've only been talking for about half an hour, but, you know, it seems like we haven't even really, you know, scratched the surface of what is going on here. But, you know, you kind of mentioned before the break there that, you know, you licensed to Carnival, I think, is one of your clients. You'd like to have a larger presence in Mexico, where you actually do a lot of the money transactions yourself and things like that.
Yes.
But getting into all this kind of stuff, I mean, we have a couple stories that we're going to do later on in the second hour for our computer news, where, you know, people are just getting hacked left and right. And when you start talking about casinos, you know, Hollywood is playing no favors in, you know, saying that casinos are awesome to be robbed. What kind of security measures go into your games? Because
you'd be surprised. I mean,
information.
There would be a lot of. I mean, since the industry started, a lot of resources has been invested by the industry in general towards exactly what you're talking about. The best defense, first of all, is multiplayer games. And the reason I say that is when it's a multiplayer game, it's basically Ben, Greg, and Jake playing against each other. And the house's interest is only for someone to have a lot of fun and keep playing, and they just take a small cut, as opposed to a regular game like blackjack or roulette, where, you know, the software could be fixed or there could be a hacker and they can play with the outcome. Now, that could also happen in multiplayer games. However, when people are much more vigilant when they see that, they could see that actually happening on the table. And the best, prevention or program is the players themselves. One multiplayer games. Now, in regards to single outcome games where it's like blackjack, where you're playing against the random number generator, etc., that can happen too, and it will continue to happen from time to time. But I have to tell you, it is very difficult to get away with it, because first of all, whenever you see something kind of out of whack, there's all sorts of systems now that are in place that analyze the gameplay, the betting, etc. I mean, everything is recorded. So, nothing really escapes the analysis eye. Second of all, the money is still frozen. If there's any hanky-panky going on, it's not like you can go to the cashier right away and say, cash my chips and I'm out of here real quick. Yeah. Usually they want to pay out. It's screened. If there is something, you know, unusual, they look at it, and they're able to, in most cases, I think, find any type of wrongdoing. So there's all sorts of resources. There are more and more effective tools and apps that are built to watch for this type of problem. A few years back, there were a lot more issues with denial of service when you would have groups out of Eastern Europe and Asia would start attacking popular sites or successful sites and hold them ransom on denial of service style of problematic attacks. That's lessened, and more and more as software has evolved into just some incredible powerful platforms. So that is something, I think, that while it's always a consideration, is less and less a concern for an operator. We have never really had a problem with hacking ourselves. We've had a couple of people in many years back trying to better the system or beat the system illegitimately, and we're able to pinpoint those guys out very easily. you know, it is at the end of the day, it does come down to numbers and probabilities, and it's very similar to actuary style of business. And whether it's slot machines or blackjack or payoffs or the odds of certain things, it always comes down to arithmetic and actuary type of estimates and projections, and you can guard against that, and you know, but that's not something that we spend our night and day worrying about. What we're really looking for is making the player experience a lot of fun, making sure that it's a player that comes in and he's not necessarily looking to drop a few thousand dollars. So we don't want that type of player, and the industry doesn't want that type of player. It's always nice to have that type of player, but what we're really looking for is we want to afford an evening of fun, someone to come in and bet $25 to $50, maybe $100, and get a couple hours of entertainment at the least, if not more, and come back and play again. And that's really the secret formula for this industry.
Yeah. So in other words, the secret formula is to get people to win, but not win too much.
Well,
you know, because
get people to have fun.
Yeah, have fun. Because basically,
you know what? That's exactly it. We want to build a brand of fun and have the player have a connection with the site. We don't necessarily need them to win every night or to lose every night. We just need to come in and play. The numbers will take care of themselves. So the probabilities will take care of themselves. They're skewered in a way where the house does win over time. But we don't need to take advantage of the player, or we don't need to give any special treatment or in bonusing. We just have to make sure the player has fun and has a legitimate, fair chance to come out ahead. And with time, you know, they do make wins and they do make good scores. But over the course of time, it's very difficult to beat the house, especially because, just like in land-based wagering, we limit or maximize the amount individual can play. For instance, if you had someone come in, a billionaire come in and say, I want to play $300 million a hand, of course, any land-based site would go under, you know, if the guy was on a roll. But the trick against that, of course, is maximizing the upside, you know, and, you know, if they just play over a period of time, the house should come ahead. We're not interested so much in the bigger players. We're more interested in, believe it or not, $5, $10 deposits, up to $50 to $100 deposits, because those are the type of players that are coming in and are looking for an evening or afternoon of fun where they're going to have some place to go, have their friends come play. You know, they're not looking here to break the bank. Very seldom you see any player make that type of score, and if they do, good for them. But, you know, people are looking for an outlet of entertainment. The more we treat this industry as an entertainment, the more it will become successful and more established.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think anyone should go into a situation like this and kind of say, all right, I have $200. I'm going to walk out of this casino with $10,000 in winning. Like, you're not looking for someone to make it rich. You're not looking for someone to gamble away their rent check. It's just if they have fun and they can bring their friends along to play blackjack and that kind of thing. It's another form of entertainment, and it's, you know, just being able to provide that and not go for, because like, I think you're right earlier when you mentioned that the high stakes poker tournaments that were televised, followed by the high stakes poker that was happening online, like that really got people excited for this kind of gaming. But it's far from, I think, what the average person can expect to experience.
Yeah.
Right. You know, one of the big things in online gaming is tournaments. Tournaments are very crucial for the overall success of the site. And how these work is people want to bet a little bit of money with a chance to win a lot. And the fact is they could do that with these online tournaments. They bet, you know, they have an entry fee of $20, $25. But because there's many, many entries, there are players from all over the place, and there's no physical issues that you, I mean, it's not like a land-based where they might only be limited to 10 tables or 100 entries. With the online tournaments, whether it's blackjack, roulette, slots even, or poker, or whatever tournament you want to discuss, for instance, with Jackpot Digital, we just got into online horse racing fantasy software, which we've built. And that's a product that we look at launching business-to-business to a lot of racetracks in North America. But that's an excellent example where we now have a product where if you're a horse racing fan, you can come in, put $50 in, and maybe play against 500 people or 1,000 other people and get 2, 3, 4 hours of entertainment and still have a chance to make $20,000 or $30,000 or $40,000 if you win the tournament. Now, that's what people really want. They don't expect to win, but they'd like to know that that $50 can translate to $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, and in some cases a couple $1 million. For instance, fantasy sports has become very huge with those type of payoffs. So, you know, if you're a young university kid or in your 20s or 30s and you're watching the football games, and this is no magic, I'm not telling you something you don't know, but I'm just emphasizing the point that, you know, you're only watching the games, whether it's football or baseball, you put $50 in and, you know, you're playing against 2,000 other players. You're kind of feeling, okay, you know what, maybe I've got that possibility. You got a little bit of adrenaline running, you got a little bit of excitement, and you've got a dog in that fight, if you will. So, and the thing is with these tournaments, you're controlling your own fate, which makes it a lot more interesting, a lot more fun. And these are the type of things that are characteristics that make this more of an entertainment play. And, I'll tell you, you take a look at all the successful venues or the involvement of Las Vegas or other gambling centers. It's all, of course, gambling is a big product there, but without the entertainment, without making it an entertainment product, without having the restaurants, the shows, the shopping, the conventions, it doesn't work. Pure gambling just doesn't work. You need to make it entertainment. And so on the online side, when you don't have shows, when you don't have shopping, you don't have the restaurants, you have to work even additionally much harder to make that product stand out for why people want to come and play at your site. And I think we've done that with the horse racing. We've built a really great product at derbytournaments.com, and I encourage you to go take a look at it. That you don't have to be a horse expert, or you don't have to actually gamble and have a win some game where you either win and or you lose. In that particular game, for instance, Craig, I don't know if you play the horses, but you could
go.
But you don't need to be great at horses for you to even win at this game. What you could do is go with a bunch of friends, and you could select a bunch of horses. You don't necessarily have to win like you would at the racetrack. You just have to do better than your friends, and you win the prize pool. So that makes it more fun. You've got that competition that's brewing, as opposed to, you know, just that pure gaming mentality. So we've tried to make the games much more fun, where there's a softer edge to them, that you don't need to necessarily actually win the specific race. All you've got to do is outlast your opponents. It's kind of like a joke around with my friends and say, it's kind of like when you and your friend hook up against a very hungry grizzly bear. You don't necessarily have to outrun the grizzly bear. You just have to outrun your friend. And it's similar with these games.
Yeah,
exactly. And you know, just to throw in a personal anecdote to this, is that, you know, I was never into football, never into hockey, or any of the sports that make a man. But I have, you know, all my friends, they're huge into fantasy football, and like, we went to a casino for our 21st birthday. You know, we had a lot of fun down there, but none of them really, you know. None of them really did anything, and until fantasy football came in, and they, like, I think they were all already going to be watching football anyways. It's just now they get to watch the game and be, you know, and be much, much more engaged on the outcomes of games that, you know, before they just cared about the Miami Dolphins. Now they care about every team that they have a player drafted from. So it's like, And it's good to see that you're following that, where if you get people kind of invested, you know, socially, emotionally, and that kind of thing, then I think it really doesn't matter at the end of the day how much money they win or lose. It's
right.
Did I have fun?
Right. You're looking for mental stimulation, that entertainment aspect of it. And we're trying to do that. And I guess, you know, as a perfect example of our philosophy as a company, fantasy football, mass product, huge popularity, does huge numbers. We're not in it. And why are we not in it? Too much competition. The bigger players are really dominant in that space. It'd be very difficult to carve out some space for ourselves. But let's take the same software that pretty much does the same thing and look for a product that is underserved in the marketplace right now. And we did just that with our online horse racing fantasy software. Horse racing has been here for a long time. I mean, it's been around longer than football, actually. But it's been a languishing sport, if you will, simply because it doesn't have the characteristics that what make the other sports successful. But there's still a very loyal and big following and a very large market that's completely underserved. We've now gone and built that product, and I think we're going to have a lot of success with that. I think it's going to really surprise a lot of people, just like when people first start hearing about how much money is in online gambling and how big it's becoming. I think on the horse racing side, it might not hit the big numbers of poker and sports. It won't, I'll tell you right now, from day one. But because there's so few people doing it, and if you do it just right, you could capture the loyalty of that segment of the market and make it a very successful business for the company. And I think that's the type of business that we strive to go after.
Well, I really admire what it is you're doing. I sort of can't get away from Runner and movies like it. I realize a lot of it's Hollywood and a lot of things. I mean, you hear they say, "Oh, look, remember? I don't know if you remember the movie. He got there was a couple of programmers that had built in a back door, and you know that's how he lost his money." I'm not saying
right.
Is that are things like that possible, or do they go on with online gaming? I mean, because
you don't.
Wait a minute. In the end, you don't really know because at a casino, you see the deal. You have physical cards. You can see what's happening. But when you're doing blackjack online, you really don't know what's going on. It's a lot. You're trusting the computer.
Right. First of all, here's a question: what's the most popular game in a land-based casino?
Well, I don't know what is.
Slots. And what is a slot? It's a random number generator. So even in a land-based casino, your most popular game is basically a computer. It's an RNG product, a random number generator. So if they could trick you, anyone, they could trick you even at the casino. But if I'm a business operator, if I'm making money just because of the numbers, just because of the popularity, why would I mess with a good thing? That's just the general philosophy. Now, let me get into it more, though. First of all, many of the companies that are operating, including ourselves, are publicly traded companies. They go through a lot more scrutiny. They go through a lot more regulatory process. A lot of them are going and getting licenses in jurisdictions that you really have to go well above and beyond reporting requirements that would sound normal under regular circumstances. But with online gaming, it's taken to a whole new level. So there are a lot of audits. There are a lot of checks and balances. There are government there are regulatory agencies. There is compliance. And the companies themselves, they want to make it as transparent of a business as possible because it is lucrative if you just do it right. I mean, you don't need to cheat. You don't need to cut corners. If you could just provide the right product and make sure, it's once you get the software right, it's not hard. And, you know, when we first started this industry, we thought, wow, software, it's like sending a man to the moon. But really, once you get the right programming unit, they can build software very fast, and you can really build anything these days. And it just amazes me how yesterday's software is today's, yesterday's darling is today's has-been. Mm-hmm. So on the software side, it's very easy to build. So what you really want to do is have a site that has a lot of respect and integrity. And how do you do that? Make sure your players are paid. Make sure the money that you're collecting from the depositors are segregated, so that you're not mixing and commingling with the operational funds. Now, you don't have to really worry about this when you've got Caesars or MGM, but to be very frank with you, you don't have to worry about it with the other operators as well, particularly the publicly traded companies. I do caution people when they see private companies, because you just never know who's behind them or what kind of scrutiny is behind it. But like us, we have a very high level of standard of transparency and regulatory requirements as a public company. And you'd be surprised how difficult that is. So the question of, are they looking to beat me? No, we don't need to. What we need to do is just make you happy that you got on a shot at a lot of entertainment. And hopefully make a few bucks, because if you make a few bucks, you know what you're going to do? You're going to come back. You're not going to go somewhere else. Believe me. It's a creature of habit.
Yeah.
I might not convince you, but...
No, it makes sense. It makes sense. I mean, I understand what you're saying. I mean, even in the movie, he said, you know, why bother cheating? I mean, because we're making so much money now, you know, it doesn't make sense to do that. Why spoil a good thing?
Well, you had in that situation, in that movie that was very loosely based on some facts on one particular site, again, very loosely based, you had a couple of rogue programmers and moles inside the company that made that happen. That wasn't a management-driven situation. Mm-hmm. And the other thing, I'll tell you why that actually happened in that particular case, that it should be noted. That was a company that was a private company. What they were doing was they were making money, Greg, and they were making very good money. But what they were doing better was spending more of the money. So the money would come in from depositors, and the management would take it and spend it, would spend even more money. Now, on a public company or someone who's got a lot of regulations, they can't do those type of things. You know, the money's got to be segregated. In that particular case, sure, $100,000 was made that night. What's the point if they made it? If they spent $125,000, so they were, you know, they were behind the eight ball, and they had to do these type of things. That doesn't happen with the companies that we're involved with, and it's not the type of companies that we want to get involved with. We want to see that type of transparency, and that you've met that scrutiny of regulation.
Right, exactly. Well, again, know who you're dealing with. And obviously, if you're dealing with Carnival Cruises and you're dealing with a large name, hopefully you can find some security in that and dealing with large companies. And just be careful when you're dealing with smaller companies, because they might not be as regular. But again, the industry, if you just go with the normal, the odds, the casino always comes out the winner. And certainly, I would imagine the. How much? I know you're not doing it right now, but how much of an capital investment does it take to bankroll an online casino to start?
Well, you know, we've been around for since 2000. Just in software alone, we've spent close to $25-30 million just in software alone. Now, you can buy a ready product, or you can license a product much cheaper now. It's much, much cheaper to license a product. The problem with that is you still need a lot of money for marketing. The marketing money that has been spent by a lot of the operators, particularly the bigger ones, are in the tens of millions of dollars. If you were to start in this industry today, I would say you would need at least, to make any type of headway, you would need at least $15 to $20 million to really build a product. Now, you could do it for less, but you're running uphill. You're going against some real giants.
Yeah, exactly. Well, listen, Jake, I want to thank you for being with us here tonight. Again, you can check out more at jackpotdigital.com, the website. We also have a link to it at our website at computeramerica.com. Jake, thank you so much for being with us here tonight. Very, very interesting.
Very interesting hour.
Yeah, very interesting.
Thanks for having me. I enjoyed it.
All right. And you take care. Thanks again.
You too. Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Good night. All right. There you go. Okay. Jackpot Digital. I hear things like that, and I go, well, you know, it's like anything else. You just have to use some common sense and just be careful when you're gambling. No.
Yeah, but at the same time, like I've known people that do this as a living, mm-hmm. like who gamble as a living, and it's a hard way to make a living. I'm not saying that it's impossible. I'm not saying that it's wrong or right. I'm just saying that when your day depends on, you know, luck or a streak or anything like that, it's hard. So it's better to treat this not as a source of income, but as a way to have fun.
Yeah, way to have fun. Just like you're listening to the show, you're having fun too.
Okay? Don't treat Computer America as a source of income.
That's right.
Much harder.
All right, we got lots more coming up. We got computer technology news brought to you by Slimware Utilities. Some very interesting stories. We're going to be right back. Don't go anywhere.